This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Tech Talk underway on this Saturday. Showers here and there. It's kind of a hit and miss thing in the weather department. Once again, the radar, it's hard to figure. Very widely scattered showers, maybe even a thunderstorm, and it's just kind of a cloud burst, and then it moves through. Most of the activity down in the southeast between, say, Rochester and the Iowa border, but there is some shower and thunder shower activity moving through the east metro. As a matter of fact, into the heart of St. Paul right now. So be aware of that. But once again, scattered showers, maybe even a thunderstorm, but they won't last very long. Sunday looks lovely, as you heard a moment ago. Great day to be around the computer, and Tech Talk is underway. And, of course, Doug Swinhart joins us each and every Saturday. And if you want to visit with Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever, by all means, feel free to call the program. And you can reach us on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And there's a lot of great topics, as always, but we invite your calls and texts. And here's the thing. We always get a lot of those, but toward the end of the program. So if you want to get in early, we invite you to get in early right now so we make sure we get to you. Doug, I hope you're doing well.
Oh, I really am. I don't know if you've been keeping up with Proton lately, but they're on a trek to spread democracy. They just got approved for Proton Nonprofit Foundation, which ensures that their mission statement from day one stays intact for perpetuity, which is really good. They also now are giving away free VPN in over 60 countries, and many of them like censorship and spread propaganda. So they've made some great steps this last several weeks, and I'm really proud of them. Really, really proud of them. Proton, Proton.me. Check it out.
Yeah, and I know you've been a fan of it for a while and have talked about it. Let's open the show. You bring up VPN, and people are kind of like, well, why would I need that? I've got an internet service provider, and say, for instance, I run Google Chrome, or I have Windows, and so on and so forth, and you know, I have malware protection and virus protection, etc. You know, why would one, a regular computer user, need a VPN? And
I think it's a really, really good idea to have it. And not just, well, I got an ISP. Well, I really don't want my ISP reporting every move I make. And it's the proliferation of our personal information is completely out of control today. Anything we all can do to bring that level down is going to be helpful across the board. So I encourage it. And they're not all created equal. I really like Proton VPN because it's super fast. It's super secure. They just have got it. They've done it right. It's just that simple. I had three paid VPNs in my router, and it would switch automatically if it happened to have problems with a streaming video or whatever. And the three paid ones, I put on Proton, and it ran circles around the three paid ones, just circles. And I haven't renewed any of them. I'm going to run just pure Proton VPN. And you just can't lose. You just can't. That's the way to go.
And for people that aren't familiar, VPN, what does it mean?
virtual private network. And you are, with Proton and most VPNs, you are encrypted, leaving your house, goes to a server that delivers a different IP address, so it can't be connected to you at all. Well, whatever information they happen to garner and the rest, and pretty soon, over a couple of weeks, you'll actually see your internet increase. And I didn't see that with the other three, but I certainly noticed it with Proton. It's and spam starts going away as well. I'm amazed. If you're not leaving them tracks all over, at least reducing them, it does make a difference in your performance all around.
All right, so once again, how do people learn more about Proton again?
Oh, just go to proton.me, proton.me. And that .me, that extension, that's been around a while. I really like it. And cruise around. Sign up for a free email account. Give it a try. If you like it, expand it. It's really, really dynamite company.
All right, proton.me. I heard the ad anyway, but before the news at 3 o'clock, Vanita was speaking for our friends at AARP. And one of the things they talked about in this ad is dual authentication. They were talking about avoiding fraud, etc. And you and I have talked about dual authentication, and I thought we would do a deeper dive on that. I am a huge fan of this. I love this. When it comes to banking, credit cards, really whatever, the fact that when you try to log in, it says, oh, we're going to send you a code on your smartphone, and you need to enter that. I am a big fan of dual authentication or two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication. It is really a good thing.
Oh, I couldn't say enough good things about it myself, Steve. And I like the fact that you brought up, well, they're going to just give me a quick text and we'll be done. I actually like that better than the security keys, the UBs and all the rest of them that are out there. I played with them. They're just difficult to work with. They will not always operate properly. And if they ever get goofy, oh, man, what a chore to unwind. And if the website demands a dual authentication, and that's really where it starts, every one of them will supply you with this text to your smartphone. Every one of them. And I don't know anybody that doesn't have a smartphone today. It really is a good identifier that it is who it's coming from. It really is that particular individual. Because you can't duplicate a SIM card or you can't duplicate a telephone number. It's just right on the money. I think that's, I know people are sometimes irritated that they got to take 20 seconds to fill it in, but it's well worth it. Yeah, PayPal, I've been with them for years. And if I'm not using the identical machine with a browser that's already been registered with them, they'll pop right open and say, well, we're going to send you a text. Okay, well, it takes another, 20, 30 seconds and it's done. And then I don't hear from even on PayPal and eBay and Amazon. I think everybody that has anything to sell should be using dual authentication. That's my opinion.
Yeah, it is wonderful, and I use it all the time. And I've taken the step with our main banking account that if there is a transaction we do, it will send us something that says you need to confirm via this dual authentication or multi-factor authentication that this is indeed you either transferring the money or paying this bill over a certain dollar amount. And I think that's an extra level of security as well. And when it's offered, I think people should take advantage of it.
Oh, I think they absolutely should, too. By the way, my bank called me this week, and they said, you know, you got an attempted charge for $99 some odd cents. Oh, I said, no, that was a subscription that I canceled. Oh, well, they've been hitting this your credit card at the bank here like three times an hour for the past 2 days. So we locked your card until we talked to you. I said, okay. And in minutes, I had it cleared up and taken care of, and it was all done. I like that when that goes on. Yeah, Royal Credit Union has been just wonderful with that. I also have mine set to where if that charge comes out of that credit card more than $500, I need to know. And they'll stop it immediately because they know I'm not going to charge that unless I change the amount and then go and take care of it. That's really, really smart business in my opinion. And on the internet, we need smart business. That's really good advice, Stevie. I think that we should promote that more.
And by the way, you can reach Doug if you want to talk computers, hardware, software. By all means, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. And here's that number again, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. And let's start with our text line. Doug, I get a number of messages that my computer will no longer be supported for Windows 10, and that I should consider getting a new computer that has Windows 11. Do I have other options to keep my Windows 10 computer? What about all of this?
You know, this is another, I hate to use the word tactic, to get you to go out and buy equipment so, well, Microsoft makes money when you get an operating system. I just don't think it's necessary. They've already postponed 12. They think it's going to come out in 25 sometime, but nothing's definite. People aren't jumping on the bandwagon to jump on 11 like they really anticipated they would. And this is just a method to motivate people to make the move. I don't think you need to do that at all. If you're running a good system and you're a good user, and there are a lot of things that you can do to protect Windows 10. Even if they're not going to be pumping out updates. And in fact, updates on 10, I set to security updates only. Even drivers I don't really want from Microsoft. I'd rather have them from the manufacturer if they're available. If I got to get them from Microsoft, I will. But I just think that this, all of us, this panic and this fear tactics to sell, I just don't agree with it.
By the way, if you want to reach Doug, the number again, 651-461-9226. We mentioned this many, many, many times before, and it's worth bringing up. If you do have an older computer, there are plenty of operating systems that aren't Microsoft, Linux-based operating systems that will allow you to keep that machine running for a long, long time and safely get on the internet and do the business you need to do.
You know, people will be amazed at how well their computer runs if they make this move. It's just incredible. You know, Linux is low resource, doesn't require any antivirus or any anti-malware. In fact, I think that it hinders the system from taking care of itself. It just runs. And Linux Mint, the latest version, is gorgeous. But like you said, there's many distributions. And take your time. Pick a good distribution. You can go to distrowatch.com and go through hundreds of them. DISTROWATCH.com. DistroWatch. And just, I would normally prefer that people stay where the Linux was originated from. The U.S., France, Canada, Isle of Man. There are many countries that are pumping out really good Linux, and anything from Switzerland and Germany you can trust. There's many, many, many versions and distributions of Linux that are highly trustworthy. These people have a reputation to maintain, and they are all really good at what they do. But like you said, there's literally hundreds of distributions of Linux. But I would generally recommend for a new user, Linux Mint. That's designed from the ground up to be an easy transition for you Windows users. Plus, their installation, if you decide to go and you want to keep Windows, it should install itself right next to Windows, trouble-free. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't take backups of all your and copies of all your important data. But once you got that in place and intact, pull the trigger and let the good times roll. It'll be nothing but good for you. And that's my opinion.
Quick break. We've got much more coming up on the program. The StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. When we come back, we have a question about our reCAPTCHA, you know, that little box that says, you know, basically, are you a human or a robot? We'll get into that with Doug coming up momentarily. Here on a Saturday at CCO. Tech Talk with Doug here on an unsettled Saturday. Weather-wise, we go from sun to a shower, maybe even a thunderstorm. And as we pointed out on that radar picture right now, here in the Twin Cities metro area, there's some rain moving south. It's just south of downtown St. Paul, so it could be raining in your neighborhood. Be aware of that. We'll have a complete weather update here in a few minutes on Tech Talk with Doug Swinhart. Thanks so much for joining us. And before we go to the text line, let's go to the phones and bring in Lawrence. Lawrence joining Hello. Us and Doug Swinhart. Lawrence, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, guys. Hey, kind of a discussion that was made last week about the monopoly issue with some of the tech companies. Mm-hmm. So, true disclosure, I'm a Mac person, have been from day one.
Okay.
Now, there may be some, I look at it as, there may be some business reasons that Apple may need to clean up their work or clean up their business. But I don't understand how Apple, and Doug, I want to get your perspective, from a technology standpoint, why is it that there's some type of push to make Apple more open when, in fact, people have alternative choices?
All right,
I'll leave that in. I might bring it up later. And thanks, always good to hear from you guys.
I don't think Apple is near under the gun that Google is. Google is a true monopoly of search engines. Now, Apple's problem mostly is with apps. They don't take any responsibility, and they're hitting it on both sides. The impression I get is they'd like to see a little bit fair play with the developers. That's kind of the sense. Apple will be okay. And I think that they just gotta give a little bit more on the side of the person that's actually doing the work, or take responsibility for the apps that to make sure that they're safe and secure when users download them. And they really do have a monopoly of apps on the iPhone. And that's a given. There's no question about that. If you're a developer and you don't go to the Apple store, well, there's no way you're going to be able to spread your wares. It's control.
Yeah, and Doug, I think there is a balancing act in all of that. And I think the people that have or operate strictly with Apple equipment, we have a lot of that here in the mm-hmm. house.
Sure.
iMacs, iPads. I've had an iPhone from the get-go. I've never used the Android operating system. Not that I have anything opposed to it. It's just that I've had such good luck and have been so pleased with how the iPhones, a number of them, have worked over the years. I've generally had very good luck. I'm easy on the equipment. I generally, they become obsolete before I, you know, move on to a new one. So they've been good, reliable, secure equipment. And I think there is that balance between wide open and people can create whatever they want and keeping a secure experience for your core customers who come back time after time after time to buy the gear.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And over the years, I've had Android and Apple back and forth, and I now have an iPhone as well. My only issue with Apple is they seem to do, in my opinion, they seem to take a little bit too much control of just what a user can and cannot do. A prime example of that is iCloud. I got photos up in iCloud, and one of them was upside down. I can't even flip it in iCloud. I got to download it to my iPhone or a Mac or wherever, and I got to use a different editor. And it's the same way with sizing it and RedEye. And, well, you know, even Google Photos has all that stuff. I mean, I know you can't have it all. But then, too, Apple doesn't always want to play well with others. I would prefer that the instant I take a picture, it gets saved up under Proton Drive in Photos. And it's really quite a chore to make that happen. And it never really does work quite right. So what Proton has done is they've created a backup that you can just once a day. And it just takes the new ones and pops them up there. So, and then it encrypts them both ends, which I really like because that's now I'm back to the privacy and the security. It's a tough balance. I understand Apple's point of view, too. If we let people just do willy-nilly, we're going to have so many issues. And they would. So this guidance is more, I think, about the number of users rather than, well, we just want to be boorish and just take everything we can. I don't think that's the thought. That's what I see.
And I think it was a good call because I think Lawrence brought up something that hits the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. You have other options. If you want to use another operating system or other equipment, you're not locked into Apple equipment. But one of the things that they advertise with the iPhone and some of their other devices is that security. And let's face it, even if the government gets a hold of your phone or whatever, mm-hmm. These are difficult devices to crack into.
No doubt. They're the toughest phones on the planet to get into. And, Apple held its ground for a long time with that. And I that was part of the reason I actually moved back to an iPhone. And it's a give and take. You're going to give up a little bit here, sure. A little bit there. Yeah. And you're never going to agree 100% with whatever the operating system is doing. And the fact that Apple has their devices set up in such a way to where the phone has a separate operating system than like a MacBook or a MacBook Pro. The iPad has a separate operating system. That I wish they would coordinate and synchronize a little better. And I'm not the only one that have suggested this. And I think they're going to go in that direction with the M2 chips. I really do. You're going to see some changes coming our way. But they're performance machines. One good thing about Apple. Apple is not going to reach out and destroy your equipment with firmware when they determine its end of life. They won't support the software anymore, so you're going to have to do something, and it makes a wonderful Linux machine. And nobody cares about that. That's fine. You can do what you want to with it. Where some of the PC makers, they're starting to ding around with firmware, and it's not pretty. It's yeah. I don't think that should be legal either, but the law's got to catch up. But Apple's a great company. I really like them, and I really like my iPhone, to be honest. It's much less effort than what I was dealing with the Android.
All right, quick break. We have much more coming up. We will get into that text about reCAPTCHA.
Oh, good.
And that comes up. If you're online, you will see that image, particularly if you're trying to buy something online. You'll see reCAPTCHA, reCAPTCHA. We'll get into that with Doug. And by the way, if you want to join us, StylesFinancial.com talk and text line is available, 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Doug Swinhart, good enough to join us on Saturdays here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. And if you want to talk to Doug, you can do so on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And I want to get to this because it came up, then we got the call and did a deep dive on Apple equipment and so on and so forth and why they keep it locked up pretty tight. But this is really a good one. And anybody who's been on a website probably saw the reCAPTCHA box pop up where you need to authenticate or say you're not a robot or human or put in a code or identify photos, etc. What do you think about this, Doug? And the text of it says, when I go to a website needed for work, I may need to go through reCAPTCHA over and over again. What could be going on?
Yeah, they're having an issue with it looping. And since I've been on Proton now, but I got to admit, when it comes to searching for technical things, Google's got it. They really do. But I haven't been using a browser logged into a Google account. I've been just leaving it bare. And if you do that, the CAPTCHA, I've sat and I've done 20, 30 of them in a row. And finally, I end up going and getting a CAPTCHA Buster, which is world-renowned. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I'd say probably 90%. That's really your only fix. And every browser's got them. Mozilla, I think, does a better job than anybody. And you can put it in Google Chrome, Brave, but it's CAPTCHA Buster, B-U-S-T-E-R. And just go to your extensions and just type in CAPTCHA, and it should be the top one because it's been around a while. I hate these things. I like it when they work. Now, OneCloud has just about the opposite. They just seem to run. But this CAPTCHA's nonsense, oh, God, it'll drive you crazy. Yeah, sit the car, click the cars, click the plants, click the monkeys. I hate them. They're senseless.
Yeah, we're it's trying to sort out, and what it is people who build a website can subscribe to one of these services to try and weed out the bots and the attacks and the spam and so on and so forth. They just want to deal with real human beings that are trying to do business on their website. Mm-hmm. And it's a simple fact of the matter. I have been caught in those loops, but generally I've had pretty good luck by saying, oh yeah, I'm a human, let me in. And it'll proceed, but it can be frustrating. The texter was wondering specifically, if it continues to loop or you continue to have difficulty, is that a sign of malware or some sort of other difficulty on your end or some sort of other problem with the site you're trying to reach?
Yeah, it's not the user end. This is all happening at the web server itself. And I understand that these people don't want to be dealing with bots, that kind of stuff. But I'd have to ask them the question, do you think that it's costing you any business because people are tired of that? And if they can't get in, they're going to go somewhere else.
Right.
And I often wonder that. I myself have gone somewhere else. Enough is enough. And a lot of this, too, it seems to be coming and being promoted by Google. And because Google wants to know where you go and keep track of you. And well, you hit it on the head several weeks ago when you mentioned the fact that we're no longer the customer, we're the product. And we are. And we need to bring that to a healthier minimum. It's out of hand. It really is. And CAPTCHA is just another sign of layering on another problem to take care of a problem that it really didn't take care of. I get it, but I disagree with it.
All right. Doug, here is a good one, and we haven't talked about it in a while on the program. You're a big believer in it, and that is password management. What tool do you use? What tool do you recommend for people to manage your passwords?
Yeah, Proton's got a Proton Password Manager, and it's the first and the only one that, for me anyway, really works and works well, and it's free. It's really the way to go, and it will create passwords for you, and they're huge. I say, don't ever lose them. If anything ever happens, and you got to go in and log in, but most places will deal with the fact that, oh, I lost my password. Okay, you got to prove it's you. We'll do a dual authentication to your phone, send it to your email with a link, and then you're done. It's pretty easy to undo, but you wouldn't want to redo all of them all at once. So use some caution. I use the autofill on my most secure accounts. Royal Credit Union, Medicare.gov, which, by the way, they've changed their logins too. You must use a .gov account, and it's dual authentication. I like that.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I save the autofill for my most important. If it's just something that's like a hobby or something like that, I just let the password manager, and I'll use one of my 22 normal passwords like you do. And it works. It just works.
Yeah, and we talked about that at the beginning of the program, and if you missed it, by the way, all our programs are archived, WCCORadio.com. Just search for Tech Talk, all the shows. There's a lot of evergreen material, and today's show will be available. But we got into dual authentication or two-factor authentication. Most mm-hmm. banks offer it. Most credit card outfits offer it. Take advantage of that. And what you do, you go to the website, you log in with your password, and then generally what they'll do is, we want to prove it's you. We're going to send you typically a 6-digit code. Sometimes it's a 7-digit code, and they'll send mm-hmm. that to your phone, and you just put that number in back into the computer, whatever computer you're on, laptop, desktop, doesn't really matter, tablet, and then away you go. And once again, we brought it up at the beginning of the show, and Doug mentioned it a moment ago. This really is the way to go. I don't know if it's a gold standard of security, but I sure feel better about it.
I think it's the best we got right now, Steve, yeah. In my opinion. There's nothing that's completely infallible, but I can't imagine how a hacker would bypass the fact that they're calling my phone. How are they going to bypass that? It's literally impossible. And we're getting a lot of stuff about for seniors and Social Security and, well, you know, just give us this PIN number and, oh, be cautious. The real companies aren't not going to do that. And I think that CAPTCHA is just another, how do I say, condition of a greater problem. when it first started, it was working quite well. You'd open it up, you'd put one window in, you'd say, well, that's it. Okay, you're good. If it had a question, it might give you a second one. But to sit and fill these things out 18, 19 times, I forget what I was going to do.
Well, and here's the thing about it. When I've been at some of those windows and I don't have my reading glasses handy, it's like, you know, what would be an example? A tree.
Well, a tiny little car on a fuzzy window, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I'm not sure. Is that a tree? What?
it takes away focus from what you were wanting to get done. Always. But, I've had that issue, too, a lot. Well, then you tell it to recycle, and they get worse. So I just downloaded the extensions to bypass them, and that seems to work the best. I can't find a better way to get rid of them. I don't care for them. I really don't.
Quick break. We'll come back. More time here on Tech Talk. You can reach us on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line 651-461-9226. Twins and Rangers on the radio tonight. Our coverage begins officially at 5:30 with the lineup card. Twins are playing well right now. Once again, Twins and Rangers from Arlington. And that is on the way with the lineup card at 5:30. Your first pitch just after 6. Chris Atterbury on the call. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk here on a Saturday. News Talk, 830-WCCO. Doug Swindhart board. And by the way, it's still time on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Doug, when we got that call from earlier in the program, you had mentioned Google, and I don't think we've heard the end of that.
I
think Google's dominance in the search engine marketplace, this is just kind of the beginning. And I know there's a lot of companies that would like a piece of that business. And, you know, Google, I don't know if they were the first, but they've certainly become by far the biggest and the market leader. But there are other search engines out there that you can use, and there's a lot of them. You're not locked into that, and if you want to break away from that, you certainly can.
Well, it's difficult, though. It really is. In my situation, I like DuckDuckGo. In fact, I like a plethora of different search engines I carry. But the problem, see, is Google has been amassing information from me for well over 40 years. So when I go and I do a search for a technical issue, it's like this thing even knows the language that I speak and the punctuation. And the results that I get on the first several pages just can't be matched by a competitor. And that's the problem. And when Google takes the approach of, well, we're going to put all our advertisers first, that's not good business. But at the same time, you got to look at it from a business perspective. They're there to produce a profit. There's no doubt about that. But to completely take away any chance that someone else can even compete, that's where the harm is being done. And in the end, it will harm consumers as well. And it isn't just Google. It's all of them. See, the problem here is since 2017, when U.S. Congress passed the elimination of the FCC privacy rules, well, today, your internet service provider, by law, can collect every move you make on the internet and sell it. And where do they sell it? Well, they sell it to advertisers. They sell it to businesses so they can do targeted advertising. And what's that do? Well, creates more spam, creates more background traffic that we're all paying for. So the free stuff is just about going to kill us, but we can turn this around. And in the eyes of a VPN, too, they'll say, well, you're having trouble with CAPTCHA, for example. Well, shut off your VPN. Well, who's the rocket scientist that think I should shut off my VPN? It's just maddening. It's this cat and mouse game. But we need to find a decent balance.
Well, and Doug, we brought it up a week ago on the program, and, you know, companies getting too big. And the original antitrust, Standard Oil, and the Standard Oil Trust, and it was broken up, and John D. Rockefeller, and that's 100 years ago, let's say. probably a little more than that. Mm-hmm. The Bell system was broken up. But in recent years, we've seen great consolidation in all industries. You know, yeah. Microsoft probably has too much influence. Google has too much influence. Once upon a time, there were multiple airlines. Now we're down to American, United, and Delta, and some smaller regional players, and that's about it. And is
that we're feeling it too?
And that is a good. Is that a good thing? And ultimately, I think the government at some point has a role in that when businesses become monopolies and control. And I think Google, in certain instances, fits into that category. So that is something ultimately for the government to sort out going forward. And, Doug, we've got to run. We want to make sure we get your phone number and email. If people want to reach out to you next week, they're welcome to do it. What is your phone number and email?
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin at WCCOtech.com. admin at WCCOtech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you a lot, Steve, and we'll see you next week.
All right, good to visit with you, Doug. Thanks so much for the time, as always. It is Tech Talk with Doug Swindhart, and all our programs are archived at WCCORadio.com. Just search Tech Talk, and you'll find all those shows, a lot of great topics. Thanks again for joining us. We have the news. We have the weather. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney coming up in a moment.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Tech Talk underway on this Saturday. Showers here and there. It's kind of a hit and miss thing in the weather department. Once again, the radar, it's hard to figure. Very widely scattered showers, maybe even a thunderstorm, and it's just kind of a cloud burst, and then it moves through. Most of the activity down in the southeast between, say, Rochester and the Iowa border, but there is some shower and thunder shower activity moving through the east metro. As a matter of fact, into the heart of St. Paul right now. So be aware of that. But once again, scattered showers, maybe even a thunderstorm, but they won't last very long. Sunday looks lovely, as you heard a moment ago. Great day to be around the computer, and Tech Talk is underway. And, of course, Doug Swindhart joins us each and every Saturday. And if you want to visit with Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever, by all means, feel free to call the program. And you can reach us on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And there's a lot of great topics, as always, but we invite your calls and texts. And here's the thing. We always get a lot of those, but toward the end of the program. So if you want to get in early, we invite you to get in early right now so we make sure we get to you. Doug, I hope you're doing well.
Oh, I really am. I don't know if you've been keeping up with Proton lately, but they're on a trek to spread democracy. They just got approved for Proton Nonprofit Foundation, which ensures that their mission statement from day one stays intact for perpetuity, which is really good. They also now are giving away free VPN in over 60 countries, and many of them like censorship and spread propaganda. So They've made some great steps this last several weeks, and I'm really proud of them. Really, really proud of them. Proton, proton.me. Check it out.
Yeah, and I know you've been a fan of it for a while and have talked about it. Let's open the show. You bring up VPN, and people are kind of like, well, why would I need that? I've got an internet service provider, and say, for instance, I run Google Chrome, or I have Windows, and so on and so forth, and, you know, I have malware protection and virus protection, et cetera. You know, why would one, a regular computer user, need a VPN? And
I think it's a really, really good idea to have it. And not just, well, I got an ISP. Well, I really don't want my ISP reporting every move I make. And it's the proliferation of our personal information is completely out of control today. Anything we all can do to bring that level down is going to be helpful across the board. So I encourage it. And they're not all created equal. I really like Proton VPN because it's super fast. It's super secure. They just have got it. They've done it right. It's just that simple. I had three paid VPNs in my router, and it would switch automatically if it happened to have problems with a streaming video or whatever. And the three paid ones, I put on Proton, and it ran circles around the three paid ones, just circles. And I haven't renewed any of them. I'm going to run just pure Proton VPN. And you just can't lose. You just can't. That's the way to go.
And for people that aren't familiar, VPN, what does it mean?
Virtual private network. And you are, with Proton and most VPNs, you are encrypted, leaving your house, goes to a server that delivers a different IP address, so it can't be connected to you at all. Well, whatever information they happen to garner and the rest, and pretty soon, over a couple of weeks, you'll actually see your internet increase. And I didn't see that with the other three, but I certainly noticed it with Proton. It's and spam starts going away as well. I'm amazed. If you're not leaving them tracks all over, at least reducing them, it does make a difference in your performance all around.
All right, so once again, how do people learn more about Proton again?
Oh, just go to proton.me, proton.me. And that .me, that extension, that's been around a while. I really like it. And cruise around. Sign up for a free email account. Give it a try. If you like it, expand it. It's really, really dynamite company.
All right, proton.me. I heard the ad anyway, but before the news at 3 o'clock, Vanita was speaking for our friends at AARP, and one of the things they talked about in this ad is dual authentication. They were talking about avoiding fraud, etc. And you and I have talked about dual authentication, and I thought we would do a deeper dive on that. I am a huge fan of this. I love this. When it comes to banking, credit cards, really whatever, the fact that when you try to log in, it says, oh, we're going to send you a code on your smartphone, and you need to enter that. I am a big fan of dual authentication or two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication. It is really a good thing.
Oh, I couldn't say enough good things about it myself, Steve. And I like the fact that you brought up, well, they're going to just give me a quick text and we'll be done. I actually like that better than the security keys, the UBs and all the rest of them that are out there. I played with them. They're just difficult to work with. They will not always operate properly. And if they ever get goofy, oh, man, what a chore to unwind. And if the website demands a dual authentication, and that's really where it starts, every one of them will supply you with this text to your smartphone. Every one of them. And I don't know anybody that doesn't have a smartphone today. It really is a good identifier that it is who it's coming from. It really is that particular individual. Because you can't duplicate a SIM card or you can't duplicate a telephone number. It's just right on the money. I think that's, I know people are sometimes irritated that they got to take 20 seconds to fill it in, but it's well worth it. Yeah, PayPal, I've been with them for years. And if I'm not using the identical machine with a browser that's already been registered with them, they'll pop right open and say, well, we're going to send you a text. Okay, well, it takes another, 20, 30 seconds and it's done. And then I don't hear from even on PayPal and eBay and Amazon. I think everybody that has anything to sell should be using dual authentication. That's my opinion.
Yeah, it is wonderful, and I use it all the time. And I've taken the step with our main banking account that if there is a transaction we do, it will send us something that says you need to confirm via this dual authentication or multi-factor authentication that this is indeed you either transferring the money or paying this bill over a certain dollar amount. And I think that's an extra level of security as well. And when it's offered, I think people should take advantage of it.
Oh, I think they absolutely should, too. By the way, my bank called me this week, and they said, you know, you got an attempted charge for $99 some odd sensor. Oh, I said, no, that was a subscription that I canceled. Oh, well, they've been hitting this your credit card at the bank here like three times an hour for the past 2 days. So we locked your card until we talked to you. I said, okay. And in minutes, I had it cleared up and taken care of, and it was all done. I like that when that goes on. Yeah, Royal Credit Union has been just wonderful with that. I also have mine set to where if that charge comes out of that credit card more than $500, I need to know. And they'll stop it immediately because they know I'm not going to charge that unless I change the amount and then go and take care of it. That's really, really smart business in my opinion. And on the internet, we need smart business. That's really good advice, Stevie. I think that we should promote that more.
And by the way, you can reach Doug if you want to talk computers, hardware, software. By all means, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. And here's that number again, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. And let's start with our text line. Doug, I get a number of messages that my computer will no longer be supported for Windows 10, and that I should consider getting a new computer that has Windows 11. Do I have other options to keep my Windows 10 computer? What about all of this?
You know, this is another, I hate to use the word, tactic to get you to go out and buy equipment. So, well, Microsoft makes money when you get an operating system. I just don't think it's necessary. They've already postponed 12. They think it's going to come out in 25 sometime, but nothing's definite. People aren't jumping on the bandwagon to jump on 11 like they really anticipated they would. And this is just a method to motivate people to make the move. I don't think you need to do that at all. If you're running a good system and you're a good user, and there are a lot of things that you can do to protect Windows 10, even if they're not going to be pumping out updates. And in fact, updates on 10, I set to security updates only. Even drivers I don't really want from Microsoft. I'd rather have them from the manufacturer if they're available. If I got to get them from Microsoft, I will. But I just think that this panic and this fear tactics to sell, I just don't agree with it.
By the way, if you want to reach Doug, the number again, 651-461-9226. We mentioned this many, many, many times before, and it's worth bringing up. If you do have an older computer, there are plenty of operating systems that aren't Microsoft, Linux-based operating systems that will allow you to keep that machine running for a long, long time and safely get on the internet and do the business you need to do.
You know, people will be amazed at how well their computer runs if they make this move. It's just incredible. You know, Linux is low resource, doesn't require any antivirus or any anti-malware. In fact, I think that it hinders the system from taking care of itself. It just runs. And Linux Mint, the latest version, is gorgeous. But like you said, there's many distributions. And take your time. Pick a good distribution. You can go to distrowatch.com and go through hundreds of them. DISTROWATCH.com. DistroWatch. And I would normally prefer that people stay where the Linux was originated from. the U.S., France, Canada, Isle of Man. There are many countries that are pumping out really good Linux, and anything from Switzerland and Germany you can trust. There's many, many, many versions and distributions of Linux that are highly trustworthy. These people have a reputation to maintain, and they are all really good at what they do. But like you said, there's literally hundreds of distributions of Linux. But I would generally recommend for a new user, Linux Mint. That's designed from the ground up to be an easy transition for you Windows users. Plus, their installation, if you decide to go and you want to keep Windows, it should install itself right next to Windows, trouble-free. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't take backups of all your and copies of all your important data. But once you got that in place and intact, pull the trigger and let the good times roll. It'll be nothing but good for you. And that's my opinion.
Quick break. We've got much more coming up on the program. The StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. When we come back, we have a question about our reCAPTCHA, that little box that says, you know, basically, are you a human or a robot? We'll get into that with Doug coming up momentarily here on a Saturday at CCO. Tech Talk with Doug here on an unsettled Saturday weather-wise. We go from sun to a shower, maybe even a thunderstorm. And as we pointed out on that radar picture right now, here in the Twin Cities metro area, there's some rain moving south. It's just south of downtown St. Paul, so it could be raining in your neighborhood. Be aware of that. We'll have a complete weather update here in a few minutes on Tech Talk with Doug Swinhart. Thanks so much for joining us. And before we go to the text line, let's go to the phones and bring in Lawrence. Lawrence joining Hello. Us and Doug Swinhart. Lawrence, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, guys. Hey, kind of a discussion that was made last week about the monopoly issue with some of the tech companies. Mm-hmm. So, true disclosure, I'm a Mac person, have been from day one.
Okay.
Now, there may be some, I look at it as, there may be some business reasons that Apple may need to clean up their work or clean up their business. But I don't understand how Apple, and Doug, I want to get your perspective, from a technology standpoint, why is it that there's some type of push to make Apple more open when, in fact, people have alternative choices?
All right, Lawrence.
I'll leave that in. I might bring it up later. And thanks, always good to hear from you guys.
I don't think Apple is near under the gun that Google is. Google is a true monopoly of search engines. Now, Apple's problem mostly is with apps. They don't take any responsibility, and they're hitting it on both sides. The impression I get is they'd like to see a little bit fair play with the developers. That's kind of the sense. Apple will be okay, and I think that they just gotta give a little bit more on the side of the person that's actually doing the work, or take responsibility for the apps that to make sure that they're safe and secure when users download them. And they really do have a monopoly of apps on the iPhone. And that's a given. There's no question about that. If you're a developer and you don't go to the Apple store, well, there's no way you're going to be able to spread your wares. It's control.
Yeah, and Doug, I think there is a balancing act in all of that. And I think the people that have or operate strictly with Apple equipment, we have a lot of that here in the mm-hmm. house.
Sure.
iMacs, iPads. I've had an iPhone from the get-go. I've never used the Android operating system. Not that I have anything opposed to it. It's just that I've had such good luck and have been so pleased with how the iPhones, a number of them, have worked over the years. I've generally had very good luck. I'm easy on the equipment. I generally, they become obsolete before I, you know, move on to a new one. So they've been good, reliable, secure equipment. And I think there is that balance between wide open and people can create whatever they want and keeping a secure experience for your core customers who come back time after time after time to buy the gear.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And over the years, I've had Android and Apple back and forth, and I now have an iPhone as well. My only issue with Apple is they seem to do, in my opinion, they seem to take a little bit too much control of just what a user can and cannot do. A prime example of that is iCloud. I got photos up in iCloud, and one of them was upside down. I can't even flip it in iCloud. I got to download it to my iPhone or a Mac or wherever, and I got to use a different editor. And it's the same way with sizing it and RedEye. And, well, you know, even Google Photos has all that stuff. I mean, I know you can't have it all. But then, too, Apple doesn't always want to play well with others. I would prefer that the instant I take a picture, it gets saved up under Proton Drive in Photos. And it's really quite a chore to make that happen. And it never really does work quite right. So what Proton has done is they've created a backup that you can just once a day. And it just takes the new ones and pops them up there. So, and then it encrypts them both ends, which I really like because that's now I'm back to the privacy and the security. It's a tough balance. I understand Apple's point of view, too. If we let people just do willy-nilly, we're going to have so many issues. And they would. So this guidance is more, I think, about the number of users rather than, well, we just want to be boorish and just take everything we can. I don't think that's the thought. That's what I see.
And I think it was a good call because I think Lawrence brought up something that hits the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. You have other options. If you want to use another operating system or other equipment, you're not locked into Apple equipment. But one of the things that they advertise with the iPhone and some of their other devices is that security. And let's face it, even if the government gets a hold of your phone or whatever, mm-hmm. These are difficult devices to crack into.
No doubt. They're the toughest phones on the planet to get into. And, you know, Apple held its ground for a long time with that. And that was part of the reason I actually moved back to an iPhone. And it's a give and take. You're going to give up a little bit here, a little bit there. Yeah. And you're never going to agree 100% with whatever the operating system is doing. And the fact that Apple has their devices set up in such a way to where the phone has a separate operating system than like a MacBook or a MacBook Pro. The iPad has a separate operating system. That I wish they would coordinate and synchronize a little better. And I'm not the only one that have suggested this. And I think they're going to go in that direction with the M2 chips. I really do. You're going to see some changes coming our way. But they're performance machines. One good thing about Apple. Apple is not going to reach out and destroy your equipment with firmware when they determine its end of life. They won't support the software anymore, so you're going to have to do something, and it makes a wonderful Linux machine. And nobody cares about that. That's fine. You can do what you want to with it. Where some of the PC makers, they're starting to ding around with firmware, and it's not pretty. I don't think that should be legal either, but the law's got to catch up. But Apple's a great company. I really like them, and I really like my iPhone, to be honest. It's much less effort than what I was dealing with the Android.
All right, quick break. We have much more coming up. We will get into that text about reCAPTCHA.
Oh, good.
And that comes up. If you're online, you will see that image, particularly if you're trying to buy something online, you'll see reCAPTCHA. reCAPTCHA. We'll get into that with Doug. And by the way, if you want to join us, StylesFinancial.com talk and text line is available, 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Doug Swinhart, good enough to join us on Saturdays here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. And if you want to talk to Doug, you can do so on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And I want to get to this because it came up, then we got the call and did a deep dive on Apple equipment and so on and so forth and why they keep it locked up pretty tight. But this is really a good one. And anybody who's been on a website probably saw the reCAPTCHA box pop up where you need to authenticate or say you're not a robot or human or put in a code or identify photos, etc. What do you think about this, Doug? And the text of it says, when I go to a website needed for work, I may need to go through reCAPTCHA over and over again. What could be going on?
Yeah, they're having an issue with it looping. And it says I've been on Proton now, but I got to admit, when it comes to searching for technical things, Google's got it. They really do. But I haven't been using a browser logged into a Google account. I've been just leaving it bare. And if you do that, the CAPTCHA, I've sat and I've done 20, 30 of them in a row. And finally, I end up going and getting a CAPTCHA Buster, which is world-renowned. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I'd say probably 90%. That's really your only fix. And every browser's got them. Mozilla, I think, does a better job than anybody. And you can put it in Google Chrome, Brave, but it's CAPTCHA Buster, B-U-S-T-E-R. And just go to your extensions and just type in CAPTCHA, and it should be the top one because it's been around a while. I hate these things. I like it when they work. Now, OneCloud has just about the opposite. They just seem to run, but the CAPTCHA's nonsense, oh, God, it'll drive you crazy. Hit the car, click the cars, click the plants, click the monkeys. I hate them. They're senseless.
Yeah, it's trying to sort out, and what it is people who build a website can subscribe to one of these services to try and weed out the bots and the attacks and the spam and so on and so forth. They just want to deal with real human beings that are trying to do business on their website. Mm-hmm. And it's a simple fact of the matter. I have been caught in those loops, but generally I've had pretty good luck by saying, oh yeah, I'm a human, let me in. And it'll proceed, but it can be frustrating. The texter was wondering specifically, if it continues to loop or you continue to have difficulty, is that a sign of malware or some sort of other difficulty on your end or sort of other problem with the site you're trying to reach?
Yeah, it's not the user end. This is all happening at the web server itself. And I understand that these people don't want to be dealing with bots, that kind of stuff. But I'd have to ask them the question, do you think that it's costing you any business because people are tired of that? And if they can't get in, they're going to go somewhere else.
Right.
And I often wonder that. I myself have gone somewhere else. Enough is enough. And a lot of this, too, it seems to be coming and being promoted by Google. And because Google wants to know where you go and keep track of you. And well, you hit it on the head several weeks ago when you mentioned the fact that we're no longer the customer, we're the product. And we are. And we need to bring that to a healthier minimum. It's out of hand. It really is. And CAPTCHA is just another sign of layering on another problem to take care of a problem that it really didn't take care of. I get it, but I disagree with it.
All right. Doug, here is a good one, and we haven't talked about it in a while on the program. You're a big believer in it, and that is password management. What tool do you use? What tool do you recommend for people to manage your passwords?
Yeah, Proton's got a Proton Password Manager, and it's the first and the only one that, for me anyway, really works and works well, and it's free. It's really the way to go, and it will create passwords for you, and they're huge. I say, don't ever lose them. If anything ever happens, and you got to go in and log in, but most places will deal with the fact that, oh, I lost my password. Okay, you got to prove it's you. We'll do a dual authentication to your phone, send it to your email with a link, and then you're done. It's pretty easy to undo, but you wouldn't want to redo all of them all at once. So use some caution. I use the autofill on my most secure accounts. Royal Credit Union, Medicare.gov, which, by the way, they've changed their logins too. You must use a .gov account, and it's dual authentication. I like that.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I save the autofill for my most important. If it's just something that's like a hobby or something like that, I just let the password manager, and I'll use one of my 22 normal passwords like you do. And it's it works. It just works.
Yeah, and we talked about that at the beginning of the program, and if you missed it, by the way, all our programs are archived, WCCORadio.com. Just search for Tech Talk, all the shows. There's a lot of evergreen material, and today's show will be available. But we got into dual authentication or two-factor authentication. Most banks offer it. Most credit card outfits offer it. Take advantage of that. And what you do, you go to the website, you log in with your password, and then generally what they'll do is, we want to prove it's you. We're going to send you typically a 6-digit code. Sometimes it's a 7-digit code, and they'll send that to your phone, and you just put that number in back into the computer, whatever computer you're on, laptop, desktop, doesn't really matter, tablet, and then away you go. And once again, we brought it up at the beginning of the show, and Doug mentioned it a moment ago. This really is the way to go. I don't know if it's a gold standard of security, but I sure feel better about it.
I think it's the best we got right now, Steve, in my opinion. I you know, there's nothing that's completely infallible, but I can't imagine how a hacker would bypass the fact that they're calling my phone. How are they going to bypass that? It's literally impossible. And we're getting a lot of stuff about for seniors and Social Security and, well, you know, just give us this PIN number and, oh, be cautious. The real companies aren't not going to do that. And I think that CAPTCHA is just another, how do I say, condition of a greater problem. When it first started, it was working quite well. You'd open it up, you'd put one window in, you'd say, well, that's it. Okay, you're good. If it had a question, it might give you a second one. But to sit and fill these things out 18, 19 times, I forget what I was going to do.
Well, and here's the thing about it. When I've been at some of those windows and I don't have my reading glasses handy, it's like, you know, do you see, you know, what would be an example? A tree?
A tiny little car on a fuzzy window, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I'm not sure. Is that a tree? What?
Yeah, see, it takes away focus from what you were wanting to get done, always. But, I've had that issue, too, a lot. Well, then you tell it to recycle, and they get worse. So I just downloaded the extensions to bypass them, and that seems to work the best. I can't find a better way to get rid of them. I don't care for them. I really don't.
Quick break. We'll come back. More time here on Tech Talk. You can reach us on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line 651-461-9226. Twins and Rangers on the radio tonight. Our coverage begins officially at 5:30 with the lineup card. Twins are playing well right now. Once again, Twins and Rangers from Arlington. And that is on the way with the lineup card at 5:30. First pitch just after 6. Chris Atterbury on the call. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk here on a Saturday. News Talk, 830-WCCO. Doug Swindhart board. And by the way, it's still time on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Doug, when we got that call from earlier in the program, you had mentioned Google, and I don't think we've heard the end of that.
I
think Google's dominance in the search engine marketplace, this is just kind of the beginning. And I know there's a lot of companies that would like a piece of that business. And, you know, Google, I don't know if they were the first, but they've certainly become by far the biggest and the market leader. But there are other search engines out there that you can use, and there's a lot of them. You're not locked into that, and if you want to break away from that, you certainly can.
Well, it's difficult, though. It really is. In my situation, I like DuckDuckGo. In fact, I like a plethora of different search engines I carry. But the problem, see, is Google has been amassing information from me for well over 40 years. So when I go and I do a search for a technical issue, it's like this thing even knows the language that I speak and the punctuation. And the results that I get on the first several pages just can't be matched by a competitor. And that's the problem. And when Google takes the approach of, well, we're going to put all our advertisers first, that's not good business. But at the same time, you got to look at it from a business perspective. They're there to produce a profit. There's no doubt about that. But to completely take away any chance that someone else can even compete, that's where the harm is being done. And in the end, it will harm consumers as well. And it isn't just Google. It's all of them. See, the problem here is since 2017, when U.S. Congress passed the elimination of the FCC privacy rules, well, today your internet service provider, by law, can collect every move you make on the internet and sell it. And where do they sell it? Well, they sell it to advertisers. They sell it to businesses so they can do targeted advertising. And what's that do? Well, creates more spam, creates more background traffic that we're all paying for. So the free stuff is just about going to kill us, but we can turn this around. And in the eyes of a VPN, too, they'll say, well, you're having trouble with CAPTCHA, for example. Well, shut off your VPN. Well, who's the rocket scientist that think I should shut off my VPN? It's just maddening. It's this cat and mouse game, but we need to find a decent balance.
Well, and Doug, we brought it up a week ago on the program, and you know, companies getting too big, and the original antitrust Standard Oil, and the Standard Oil Trust, and it was broken up, and John D. Rockefeller, and that's 100 years ago, let's say, probably a little more than that. The Bell system was broken up. But in recent years, we've seen great consolidation in all industries. You know, Microsoft probably has too much influence. Google has too much influence. Once upon a time, there were multiple airlines. Now we're down to American, United, and Delta, and some smaller regional players, and that's about it. And is
we're feeling it too.
And that is a good. Is that a good thing? And ultimately, I think the government at some point has a role in that when businesses become monopolies and control. And I think Google, in certain instances, fits into that category. So that is something ultimately for the government to sort out going forward. And Doug, we've got to run. We want to make sure we get your phone number and email. If people want to reach out to you next week, they're welcome to do it. What is your phone number and email?
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin at wccotech.com. admin at wccotech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you a lot, Steve, and we'll see you next week.
All right, good to visit with you, Doug. Thanks so much for the time, as always. It is Tech Talk with Doug Swindhart, and all our programs are archived at wccoradio.com. Just search Tech Talk, and you'll find all those shows, a lot of great topics. Thanks again for joining us. We have the news. We have the weather. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney coming up in a moment.